You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Paddy Aspel and John Babb in the studio. Three meetings to come this Monday. We've got racing on the flat at Bath and Hamilton, accompanied by National Hunt Racing from Newton Abbott. So got all that to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to preview the action is William Hill Radio's Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
I'm very good, Mark. Thank you.
Good. Good man. Good week of racing coming up, Mick. We're looking ahead to Monday's stuff, but the back end is pretty interesting, isn't it, with the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe coming up next weekend. It's a good week of racing.
It certainly is. A new venue as well, Mark, which will give it a bit of an added interest, won't it?
Yeah.
Coming from Sean T. The draw, I suppose, is going to plays a part in the Irish Derby, but it is a couple of furlongs further the French. I just hope Postpone gets a good draw and we don't have to use that as a worrying point, shall we say.
Yeah.
I think he's found a way, the most likely winner of it.
Yeah. On a level playing field, you'd say he's a good thing. Well, not a good thing, but a very strong favourite. Yeah. You just got to obviously take into consideration the draw later on in the week. You ever been to Shanty, Mick? You've been to several places.
I've been to Shanty. It was a non-race day. I was over there on a jockey club working party. And I rode out in Shanty and saw the Francois Dumas had a Grand National fence built, actually, to have runners in the National in those days, and the schooling grounds in the Shanty gallops, and I think I jumped more jumps that day than I had for years, because I'd long since retired from riding, but they stuck me back up on this. So it was good you knew what it was doing, because I certainly didn't. it was an interesting day.
Yeah, sounds like good stuff. Obviously we'll concentrate on that later on in the week. Just a quick look back at some of the big winners from last weekend, Mick, before we get stuck into Monday. A few surprises at Newmarket. The two group ones went the way of big outsiders.
Yeah, I suppose the biggest surprise was a Saturday's winner, wasn't it? The Last Lion, who was one of the first 2-year-olds we saw out this year.
Yeah.
In winning the Brocklesby. But to be fair to him, he's kept his form well, and he's just a typical tough Mark Johnson horse who just keeps going, and a great success for former William Hill chairman John Brown and his partner Megan Dennis. They're absolutely thrilled with that. Good run at York last time, and turned it around with Blue Point with Mimas a good yardstick back in third. I don't know. The time was pretty similar to the other two-year-old races, about 2 slower than average, so you couldn't say Joe stole it from the front or anything like that.
No.
It was just a good, solid performance, wasn't it? I don't think we should read too much into it or make excuses for anything that finished behind him.
No.
It was just a good, solid performance. And the right horses were, for me, second and third, so... Yeah, good. Well done to Mark for letting him take his chance.
Yeah, first group one for Joe Fanning as well. It's thoroughly deserved.
On his birthday as well. Yeah. We won't mention what birthday it was, but he probably can't remember himself. But well done to Joe. Nobody deserves it more than Joe.
Yeah. One of the big surprises on the day was Lady Aurelia finishing third in the Cheveley Park.
Well, I wasn't really. I thought she was running out of petrol in Deauville last time.
Yeah.
I know she looked visually quite impressive, but she was very quick to pull up, and I thought she was running out of petrol, and I just thought the hill might have its say. So I wasn't totally surprised. I mean, she's still run well, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
She's beaten a short head and two by, Brave Anna. How Brave Anna was allowed to go off at 25-1. I mean, she's unbeaten at this trip, 6 furlongs, Brave Anna.
Yeah.
You know, they tried her over further. She's a daughter of Warfront. I wouldn't touch her for the guineas. Because... Well, certainly at the moment, because this looks to be her best trip, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Her record shows you that. And great to see Warfront have a Group 1 winner in Europe. So, yeah, onwards and upwards with her. Roly Poly ran well for the same stable in second. Lady Rayleigh's run a race, but I know she got away with it in Dover, but she didn't get away with it at Newmarket. You don't. Any chinks, you don't. You just do not get away with it. And again, no excuses on the clock. It was a very similar time to all the top two races, about 2 seconds slower than average.
Yeah.
Which astounded me, because to go back to the day before in the Rockfell, I didn't see much, to be fair, I didn't see much of Fridays or Saturdays. I was at watching Hamlet yesterday afternoon, Mark.
I'm very cultured.
Yes, so I saw a bit on the recent replay when I got back. But my good ladies was a big fan of Frankel, and whenever any of his offspring are running, we have to watch. By default, because he was her favourite horse, all his offspring are her favourite horses as well. So,
right.
So we had to watch Fair Eva, and so we watched the Rockfell, and about halfway she said, "What's happening?" I said, "I think she's going too fast." And she said, "Well, isn't that what she's supposed to do?" To which there's really no answer, is there?
No, I suppose not.
So I let that one go. And I just thought maybe that's what happened. Pat didn't ride her like that at York in the Lowther. He held her up, chased the pace a bit. And I thought, oh, they've just gone too fast. But the clock doesn't back it up, does it?
No.
And I thought Frankie won it because he'd had nothing to do with the early gallop. When I saw the sectionals, I had to revise my thing, just visually watching the race. Having said all that, I still do think that Fair Eva will be a better filly when she matures a little bit more.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot on the forehand. She doesn't look to be pulling hard, but she's doing a lot of work in the first half of the race. I don't think she got a great turn of foot, lost about half a furlong, but I do think a strongly run Guineas and launch that run just inside the furlong pole as they start to meet the rising ground, I still think she'll be a factor next year. But, yeah, I was just astounded when I saw the time and the sectionals. Visually, they looked to be going too fast, but the clock said they weren't.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing with Fair Eva on her first couple of starts is she showed a real turn of foot, whereas that seems to have been blunted maybe by the fact that she's doing too much too early.
It could be, or is it could be just as she's stepping up in class.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
But even so, I thought Frankie was brilliant on the winner, who was herself was doing far too much in the first quarter. And I more or less, I thought, well, she's not going to get home going like that. And Frankie, somehow, managed to get her switched off and then took advantage. I mean, they were running out of petrol, weren't they? Fair Eva and Miss Infinity close home. And see there, another one. Mark Johnson nearly stole that with Miss Infinity, didn't he? Didn't he? You know, fair play to him for letting her take a chance. And yeah, I think Frankie picked up the pieces a little bit, because those two had been eyeballing. Fair Eva did well to get ahead in front when she did, but I do think she'll be better filly next year. Yeah, I think it posed more questions than answers, the Cambridgeshire meeting, don't you, as far as the two-year-olds are concerned?
Yeah, we normally look to these races for a two-year-old that's going to win impressively, and then that's the one to beat as a three-year-old.
You're scratching your head, aren't you?
Yeah, now. Very much so, yeah. Just have a quick look at the betting for the Guineas, see if there's any major changes to those. While we're on the subject of the two-year-olds. Fair Eva, 12-1 joint favourite with Spain Berg for the 1,000 guineas. Brave Anna, 16s with Queen Kindly. And Roly Poly, also 16. So, yeah. Kind of as you'd expect.
Well, I mean, you've got to, you know, take into account how these fillies are going to go on in the future. Amazing, that was Aidan O'Brien's first...
Yeah.
First Cheveley Park winner, isn't it?
Yeah, and not many group ones he hasn't won, but...
Yeah, but I do think Brave Anna was overpriced, especially when she was back to her best. Well, the phone book says it's her best trip.
Yeah.
Whether she'll get a mile, we'll have to wait and see. But she was certainly a worthy winner on the day, game winner as well from her stable companion. Mm-hmm. They were both by Warfront, incidentally. Yeah. First two.
Yeah. Mm. As for the 2,000 guineas, Caravaggio still heads the market there. At 5-2, 7-2 Churchill, War Decree 11-1, 14 South Seas, and 20s or bigger for the rest.
Yeah, I think we'll have to look at the Dewhurst, etc., won't we, and see what that throws up.
Yeah. And we won't see Caravaggio again until next year, so that's kind of jury's going to be out for that a little while.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's leave that there. We've talked about that enough. Let's get stuck into Monday's racing. Mick's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look ahead to the best of the action at Newton Abbott and Hamilton on Monday. We start in the 3:30 at Newton Abbott. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles. We've got a field of seven for this one, Mick, so it kind of makes it a little bit more tricky from an each-way perspective.
It does, isn't it?
What are your thoughts on the race?
Yeah, I like the top one, Can I Call You Back. He's not got a... I know he's got joint top weight, but it's not a huge weight range in the race. It's just £15. And he's retained his form really well since his last win and returns to the scene of it as well. He may be creeping up the handicaps, but he has become a very reliable chaser, this horse. And I think this is a good opportunity to get back to winning ways. I mean, the joint top weight with him is Next Sensation. Now, the money did come for him last time, and he was still in command and in the process of running a big race when he fell three out in Carmel, but this is a lot tougher than that race. And the only other one I can make a case out for is Owen Neveu, who was much more like it last time after a form dip in May, June and July. And it looks as though Fergal O'Brien has got his team back in good order. And, I think Owen Neveu rates the biggest danger to Can I Call You Back? But I do think Can I Call You Back will get back to winning ways in the Newton Abbott 3:30.
Can I Call You Back then? Selection for Mick in the 3:30. Moving to Hamilton next for the 3:50. And this one is a Class 2 conditions stakes. We've got a field of seven to go to post for this one. A few of these arrive with one or two duck eggs next to the name, Mick. And it looks like Dan Zeno may be quite hard to beat here.
Well, he's the form pick, isn't he? This time last year, he was an excellent Group 1 third in the champion sprint at Ascot by Mohoria. Repeat of that would make him very hard to beat, but he does find winning difficult, doesn't he? I know, probably you could say it's the company he keeps. And another good effort last time at York behind Amy What You Like, who went on to run very well in the Air Gold Cup, leading his group over on the far title, very close home, still finished close up in fifth. And on the bare bones of the form, he's very hard to beat, but I just get wary of these horses who lose the winning habit, as it were, and just... Although, big step down Class 2, but there's some good horses in opposition. Scrutineer is an interesting three-year-old for the Mick Shannon Yard. He's no stranger to Pat and Company, and he's been three times listed placed. Bit to find with Dan Zeno on there running the last twice, but he does go well in the mud. So if it keeps raining up there, Scrutineer, who just gets that little bit of weight for age in a tight conditioned race, might tip the scale. But I'm going to take a flyer on one here, and that's Ascription. It was a very decent horse over a bit further for Hugo Palmer last year. Now, he's just had the one start for Keith Dalglish, and that was in the Air Gold Cup. And he didn't run at all badly, considering being off for such a long time. And he's got plenty of soft ground pattern form to his name. He comes here fresher than most, with that Air Gold Cup run under his belt. And he, with the market likely to revolve around Dan Zeno and Scrutineer, he just might be worth taking a punt on, Ascription. He's a bit of a left fielder, but he's a good horse, this, and I never mind him wanting a little bit further up that hill at Hamilton if the mud's flying. So I'll take a chance on Ascription there.
Okay,
and it'd be interesting to see how the market speaks about him.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the market for Ascription. I was thinking along similar lines about Jack Dexter in the race.
You could pretty much say the same. He should find this a lot easier than the big handicaps he usually runs in, including the Air Gold Cup last time. You just think, would a small field sprint suit his style of racing? That'd be the worry. But I take on board what you're saying. He's perfectly capable of making his presence felt, isn't he?
Yeah, it's quite a tricky little race.
It is,
isn't
very
it?
Tricky. Yeah. Even the lack of numbers doesn't make it any easier, does it?
No, it doesn't. But Mick's going to take a bit of a chance on Ascription.
Yeah, just a flyer.
We'll go to the 4 o'clock at Newton Abbott next. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over the extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 9 of them in the lineup here. And I suppose we should start with Kentford Air S, Mick, who arrives here chasing a four-timer.
Yes, three times The last three wins have all come at Fontwell, but she has won elsewhere, including here, so that's not a problem. And she's dangerous to discard, despite a career best required off this mark of 117. Young Daniel Sampson, who can claim 10, is back in the saddle, as it has been the last twice. Good performance again last time. I suppose the market's going to revolve around her and Polo the Mum, isn't it? Who's won three of his last four, and his mark has shot up from 89 to 110 in the process of those. And he's got course and distance wins to his name as well. It's difficult to know where the improvements come from in such a short space of time, but he did bolt up last time, something like 14 lengths, wasn't it? I mean, he just ran them ragged, didn't he? And but again, I'm going to just discard those two and go with something else, and that's Get Home Now, was trained by Peter Bowen, Sean in the saddle. And this is only his third run back after a 403-day break, and he was much more like it last time. Sure, the benefit of that comeback run, much more like it last time. He's been won and placed off a lot higher than this, off 108. He was rated 127 at his best. I think his last win was off 114, and he's been placed in the 120s. So he's very well handicapped to Get Home Now. And with those two runs under his belt, I think we can discard the dreaded bounce factor. And with those other two, Kent Fedaris and Polo the Mum, likely to take big chunks out of the market. Get Home Now might be a nice working man's prize.
Okay, Get Home Now then. The selection for Mick there then. And we finish off back at Hamilton for the 420. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. A decent size field here. Mick, what are your thoughts in the 420?
Taking liberties, the three-year-old is probably going to be popular here with Kevin Ryan's horses in such good form. He was rated in the high 80s this time last year, and much more like it last time. He's had the headgear back on the last couple of times, much more like it last time at Carlisle. And, this is not a dissimilar uphill finish to Carlisle. And the stable continue in fine form. So taking liberties, I think it's going to be very hard to beat. Tectonic is another one who comes in good form. Another former course winner, trained by Keith Dalglish, Jason Hart taking the ride. He's got back to within £2 of his last win. Remains in form, handles this track, comes in with good form. Going to be, even that non-runner, it's going to be a good each-way race. Hard to see Tectonic out of the frame. But I'm going to take a chance on the David O'Mara train, Marua, who's had a 58-day break since disappointing last time. But that last day, it was his third quick run. I think it was his third run in July. And I think it just probably caught up on him. And but he's got a big chance on the previous two efforts at Carlisle. And this return to a stiff uphill finish, I think, will suit him. And I think he could well be the forgotten horse of the race from a betting angle. So I'll just, again, take a bit of a punt on Marua in that 420 at Hamilton.
Marua, then, the selection for Mick there in the 420. As usual, Mick, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, if you'll just relay your final selections for us then for Monday.
Yeah, let's hope that we can have a bit of fun on Monday. The 3:30 at Newton Abbott, Can I Call You Back, remains in good form, and he's becoming a very consistent performer. Paul Maloney and Evan Williams teaming up with that one. In the 3:50 at Hamilton, Ascription, only second start for Keith Dalglish after his initial run in the Ergo Cup. The Cobweb should have been blown away, and it was a very good horse last year for Hugo Palmer. And in a very trappy condition stakes there at Hamilton. The 4:00 at Newton Abbott, the market's going to be dominated by Kent Fedaris and Polo the Mum, so I'm going to ignore those two and go for Get Home Now, who runs off a very attractive looking mark, and this is only his third run back after a 403-day break, so the Cobweb should have been blown away now, and he was rated 127 at his best. He can race off 108 now, and he's still only 8 years old. And the final race that we're looking at, the 4:20 at Hamilton, the mile handicap, I'm going to take a chance on David O'Mara's Marua. I think that disappointing run last time caught up with him. It was his third quick run in July. And coming back to a stiff track, his previous two runs at Carlisle give him a great chance in this. This return to a stiff track will be right up his street.
Superb, good work, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Cheers, Mark.
That's the thoughts of Mick Norton then on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Darren Owen, Paddy Aspel and John Babb in the studio. Three meetings this Monday, Bath and Hamilton on the flat and jumping at Newton Abbott. So do tune in for those. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.